And to be able to know that we are loved by Him, it is that is something I think that should bring us joy day in and day out, to know of God's great love for us. I'm so glad that you chose to be with us this morning. We're starting off the new year, as every year and really every week, with a focus on the Lord and looking to Him for His ongoing sustaining grace and provision and direction in life. Although things are still largely shut down here in Santa Barbara County and Santa Maria and what have you, we are still looking to kind of keep things going as much as we can as a church and provide opportunities for us to gather, even if it is remotely. So we are going to be starting up our growth group ministry again in just a couple of weeks. It will start... 2 weeks from today will be the week that it starts. Tuesday and Thursday evenings are offered, and you can find a link in the email from the church that hopefully you received this week, a link to sign up online so that we know who's going to be in which group. You can sign up for either Tuesday or Thursday. The groups will meet at 7 p.m. Certainly they will probably be starting online, and then depending on how things go and people's comfort levels, they may transition to meeting in person if that's possible. But you can also find that link on our website if you go there, and feel free to sign up, give us your name and email address, and we'll get you signed up for the groups, and those will start in a couple of weeks. And then along with our weekly Sunday messages, you'll find questions that are posted on our website and a link that will be on our YouTube channel as well that will give you access to the questions that the groups go over each week, and they're written to go with the message from each week. So that's up and coming. We're looking forward to getting that going again, because it's a wonderful way for us to fellowship and connect with one another, to be able to pray with and for each other, to encourage each other, and to come together to look more deeply into God's Word. That's what we're going to do now this morning. So let's take a moment and pray once again before we get into our study. Father, we look to glorify You even in this. Lord, to make everything that we do this morning an act of worship. We worship You with our voices in song. We seek to worship You now with our hearts and minds as we look to Your Word for instruction and understanding. God, help us to see Your truth as it is, to rightly understand it and see its application to our lives. God, I pray that it would be a time of challenge and encouragement, a time where, God, it is Your Holy Spirit that truly applies things and helps us to understand them more than what is said or heard, that You would be the one active in the hearts of Your people. And so we ask Your blessing once again on our time in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is it. Here we are. Brand new year, 2021, a brand new year full of potential and hope, right? Certainly the potential to be better than 2020, and that is certainly our hope, that it is better than some of the things we experienced over this past year. Of course, this is always that time of year, last year aside, this is that time of year when people are setting all sorts of goals, right? Making resolutions, that sort of thing. It just, every January, it comes around, this will be the year. This is going to finally be the year that I'm going to get in shape. Or this will be the year that I finally get my finances in shape. Or this is the year that I'm going to read a book, a new book, every week, or learn a new skill, or take up a new hobby, or finish that project, or whatever it is. But we even set religious goals for ourselves, don't we? This is the year I'm going to read through the entire Bible this year. Or this year I'm going to not only tithe and support the church, I'm going to support a missionary. Or maybe this is the year that I'm going to really develop a fervent, passionate prayer life. And, you know, those are all good goals. We can set all sorts of goals, we can make all sorts of resolutions, and they're good things to have. And yet, sometimes what ends up happening is we end up just wearing ourselves out by creating all of these different goals, and it creates more stress than success. Stress affects every one of us in one way or another at different times. Let me give you a little informal quiz this morning, all right? A little informal stress test, okay? So I'm going to say a phrase, and you see if you can complete the sentence, okay? It's pretty much a one-word completion, so let's see how you do here. when you're having one of those days, you say, man, I am just ready to throw in the towel. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, or how about, I am absolutely at the end of my rope. Yes, I'm just a bundle of nerves. Mm-hmm. My life is falling apart. I'm at my wit's end. Yeah, okay, and how about this one? I feel like just resigning from the whole human race. Yeah. Okay, so the results are in. You're all stressed too. You guys get it. So what can we do about it? 2020 had more than enough stress for every single one of us. And here we are at a new year, and I know flipping the page on the calendar doesn't change everything. We're still going to continue to struggle into this year with some of the things that we've been dealing with as a city, a country, and around the world. We're still going to have problems to face. So what can we do about the stress that comes at us from every direction, no matter what? How can we get relief in the biggest issues of life at the deepest level of our heart? Well, Jesus has the answer. In fact, he gave us the answer almost 2,000 years ago. He gave us the answer. Yeah, believe it or not, 2,000 years ago, people were stressed then too. Different kind of stresses, but some things never change. Stress is stress, and regardless of where you're at or when, people experience stress. And in the short passage that we're going to look at this morning, at the very end of the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus gives us the answer for stress. Rest. You want to be less stressed? Rest. Probably not the way we might think, though. It's not a passive rest. It's not a, pulling the lever on the chair and kind of, spiritually putting our feet up in our easy chair and just kicking back. Not that kind of rest. It's actually an active rest, if you can imagine. Taking on the yoke of Christ and pursuing his will for our lives. In the verses that we're going to look at this morning, Jesus gives us a prescription for rest. What he does is he issues us an invitation, and then he gives us instruction. And those are the two things we're going to look at. So if you're not already there, grab a Bible and open it to the Gospel of Matthew. That's the first book of your New Testament, about two-thirds of the way through your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are those first four books of the New Testament. And we're in Matthew chapter 11, and all the way to the last three verses of the chapter, the last paragraph there beginning in verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. If you want to go from stressed to rest, then follow along here as I read where Jesus invites us to rest. That's what he gives us here. He invites us to rest. Verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Isn't that a great, wide open door invitation? Who does he invite? He invites everyone who is weary or carrying a heavy burden of any kind. And that pretty well describes most people, doesn't it? Does that describe any of you today? Are you weary at all? Are you carrying a heavy burden? Have you been there at some point in your life? I have. From week to week, it seems like over this last year, we all experience weariness and burdens, sometimes on a almost daily basis. Some are bigger than others. And there's a variety of ways with dealing with those stresses that create such weariness and heavy burdens for us. We can deal with them in a number of ways, right? People will seek rest in and comfort in all sorts of ways. Some of them good, some of them bad. But people look for ways to achieve that rest from stress. Some people find that it helps them to relax if they spend time with friends, loved ones, or family or something. Others find that it's a lot easier if they isolate themselves. No, just get me away from everybody, and then I can finally relax. Some, I don't know, binge watch TV. Other people lose themselves into a book. Some people escape by going on vacation, right? Just get me away from it. I'm going to the mountains, far off any road, just to get away from it all for a little bit. On the negative side, some people turn to things like pornography or alcohol or drugs. Others just kind of seem to try and keep a lid on things until it boils over and just explodes, and they lash out at others, or they become harmful to themselves or other people. The thing is, whether good or bad, none of those things can provide lasting satisfaction or true rest. In fact, while most of us hope at some level that these things will offer some form of escape or at least dull the pain of life, sometimes they just end up doing the very opposite of that. We find that so many of these things are only fleeting pleasures, and they leave us empty and stressed all over again at the end. In truth, some of those things are little more than painkillers. All they do is mask the pain. They don't address the problem at all. They just numb the pain temporarily. Well, there's a different way to handle the stress. You don't have to simply numb the pain. You don't have to wait until it boils over and blows up in your life. Jesus invites us all to rest. All of us who are weary and heavy laden. And we can all find ourselves burdened with all sorts of different weariness, can't we? There's emotional weariness. We can be emotionally weary. Sometimes we just lack any semblance of peace in our lives. You say, how's your life? Well, it's anything but peaceful right now, let me tell you. We just don't have it. We worry. We seem to be so prone to that. We worry that our worst fears are going to come true. Oh, I just know it's going to happen. Things are going great, and I know somebody's going to knock the feet right out from under me. Anytime something, it's going to be a financial thing or a health thing. Something's going to happen. Life is going too well. I worry that things are going to all of a sudden take a turn for the worst. Sometimes we find ourselves just doubting. Maybe after a series of difficult things in our lives, we just doubt that any good can come into our lives. This is just it. Life sucks and then you die. You know, nothing good is ever going to happen in my life. And we get to that point of almost giving up hope. I think the one that almost is amusing, it would be funny if it weren't so sad, is sometimes we can even worry about not having enough to worry about. You know, I don't know, I feel like I should be worried about something and I can't think of anything to worry about, and that really stresses me out. Okay, it just over and over again. Emotional weariness. Then there's physical weariness, and that can come on us from any number of things. Not enough sleep ranks right up there. Maybe too little exercise, poor nutrition, too much of the noise and hurrying from here to there. It comes when we try and pack our calendar with two or three things into that same time frame. Like we can split ourselves into different people and be in multiple places at one time, and then we get stressed out because we can't fit everything into that same moment. And we can wear ourselves out. Physical exhaustion can lead us down a path of emotional depression or despair when we're just so physically worn out. We can also experience spiritual weariness. Those times when the weight of our own sin feels really heavy, when we really are face to face with how far short of God's standard of perfection that we can fall from time to time. And this weight of that sin and the struggle to overcome its chokehold on our lives can leave us spiritually feeling exhausted. That last stress, that spiritual weariness, I think that's one that at times we don't fully appreciate just how much that plays into our everyday well-being. Being spiritually worn out, spiritual weariness. But I believe that spiritual weariness is especially the one that Jesus is talking about here in these verses. There is a weariness that comes into our lives when we try to do it ourselves spiritually, when we try to live that good life, what we figure, I need to live a good life, and we try and do that in our own strength, and if you're like me, you find yourself failing at that over and over again. Because in our own strength, we just can't pull it off consistently. And as we fail time and again, and as we fail maybe in that same stupid area of our lives over and over, spiritually it just drags us down. And we become weary and we throw up our hands and say, I can't do it. Never going to change. You know what, Lord, just punch my ticket and take me out because I'm done. I'm weary, tired. Jesus has the answer for that struggle. He invites us to rest. Rest sounds good, especially when we're stressed. Rest sounds great. And a lot of times when we talk about, you know what, I just want to rest. And the things that pop into our mind is, well, let's see, that would be the hammock with that favorite beverage in my hand and a beautiful view and a blank calendar, right? Nothing going on. Life is all sunshine and roses. And to that end, humanity has invented all of these time-saving devices and things to kind of help us have more free time, right? But we've got computers, we've got cell phones, we don't have to call people or actually go see them. We can email, text, tweet. We've got microwaves, meals ready in seconds. You know, we've got drive-throughs. If you don't even feel like leaving your house, you've got Uber Eats and DoorDash. They'll bring it right to you so that we can have all of this extra time, right? We can just, it's so much time saving that we just won't know what to do with all the extra time that we have. It doesn't work out that way, does it? All these time-saving things, what do we end up doing? We stuff every available extra moment with something else. And we are just as busy as we were before and just as stressed out, and there is no rest. Jesus, however, promises us rest. What he wants us to understand is that we aren't called to go it alone. He doesn't ask us to go through life simply in our own strength, especially not spiritually. We know well, but it bears repeating it because we just need to be reminded of this from time to time, that we don't save ourselves. We don't earn our own salvation. And I know most Christians will say, well, duh, obviously, yeah, Christ died for our sins. We don't earn it ourselves. And yet practically we go through life sometimes like somehow we do. We're trying to do it right in our own strength to show God that we're worth it or to earn our part of it or something. And it doesn't work that way. See, that's the difference between the biblical Christian faith and virtually every other religious system out there. It's do versus done. Do versus done. With pretty much every other religious system out there, bar none, it's do. What do you have to do to be saved, to get eternal life, to find forgiveness, to enter nirvana, to whatever it is? What do you have to do to get it? There's a list of things that you either have to do or a list of things that you better not do if you hope to get whatever it is. But in Christ, it's been done for us already. Christ already died on the cross for your sin, for my sin. He already did what was necessary in order for God to offer us forgiveness and eternal life. And we simply then receive it. And that's what Jesus says here, is he says, he invites us to come to him and to receive rest from our weariness, from our heavy burdens. We can lay those things down. The stress of trying to live a life that is good enough that God might say, yeah, you're good enough, I'll let you in. We can lay that stress down, receive His forgiveness, receive eternal life, and rest, true rest, through faith in Christ. See, we don't do because it's already been done. There is nothing left to do. There is still the matter of discipleship. We don't earn what is freely given to us. We can't, but we are called to respond to it. Christmas just behind us here, probably somebody gave you a gift. Well, it's not yours unless you receive it from that person. If you turn it down or if you never take possession of that gift, you can't really say it's your gift. You don't have it. Forgiveness and eternal life is God's gift. He offers it to us freely. If we will confess our sin, if we will acknowledge our sin before Him and believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, the one who died in our place, God says the gift is yours. But we have to receive it. We have to respond to it. And that's where Jesus gives us instruction. And before we dive into His instruction to us, I do want to make sure that we notice the order of things here, because it's important. First, we are invited. Then, we are instructed. Invitation followed by instruction. And that's important. We come first, He says, come, and then He says, take and learn. It cannot and should not be reversed. The first order of business for any one of us is to come to Jesus. That means we have to detach ourselves from some of the things that we can cling to so desperately in life. We need to loosen our grip on some of the things that we can hang on to so tightly in the here and now. We need to change the direction that we have been heading up until now, and instead choose Jesus and His direction for our lives. So let me ask you to just consider for a moment in your own heart and mind, where are you headed right now? What direction is your life oriented in? Are you pointed towards Christ? Or are you facing away from Him somewhere in your life? You see, weariness and burdens, that stuff that Jesus talks about here, that comes more frequently when we are pointed away from Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that so long as we're pointed towards Christ, everything's going to be great, that we're not going to have any stress and we're not going to have any problems in life. As long as you're focused on Christ, everything's going to be great. Wish that were the case. It is not. Jesus Himself assured us in Scripture that in this world, in this life, we will have tribulation. We will have struggles in this life. It will not always be easy. But there is a promise for those who are walking with Christ, who are walking in His strength and His power. See, when we are in step with Christ and His Spirit, He promises that we will find rest. We live beyond our circumstances. We see that there is something well past today's difficulties. And we're able, like the prophet Isaiah wrote in the Old Testament, we are able to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary. It begins by moving towards Christ. We have to accept His invitation to come to Him. And to come to Him means that I turn away from myself. It means that I turn away from whatever led me into my path of weariness and heavy burdens. It means that I have to turn away from that stuff that has dragged me down spiritually and turn back towards Christ. That's the meaning of the biblical word repent. It means to do that 180, to turn away from those things that we know are contrary to what God wants for us, those things that create more stress and weariness and heavy burdens in our lives, to repent, to turn away from that and turn back to Christ and to seek our strength from Him. See, we can't receive anything from the Lord until we first come to Him as our Lord. That's Christ's invitation. To all of us who are weary and heavy laden, He says, come to me. Come to Him and receive rest. Well, next, Jesus instructs us how to rest. Rest comes from Christ, but it isn't a passive thing. As I said earlier, it's very active. We are called to take and to learn from Christ. And that's kind of a counterintuitive idea, isn't it? That we take on labor in order to find rest. It's contrary to our normal way of thinking. But look at the text again with me. Verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ instructs us to take His yoke upon us. Now that's an interesting symbol, that idea of a yoke. See, a yoke was a large wooden beam that was kind of carved to rest on the backs of oxen. And two oxen would be kind of paired together with a yoke stretching over both of their shoulders between them. Typically, the way it would work is a farmer would take an older, more experienced ox who knew the path, knew the task, was strong, capable of finishing the task and doing the work. And what the farmer would do would be to bring this mature ox and bring alongside a younger ox who didn't know the task as well. And because they were bound under that same yoke, they would do the work together. But usually when the farmer was bringing in that younger ox to start learning the work, the older ox would bear pretty much most of the weight of the yoke itself and most of the burden of pulling it. His shoulders would have been larger and stronger than the younger, more inexperienced ox. And the young ox didn't feel as much the weight of the yoke or the burden that was behind it, but felt the constant tugging of the more mature ox. The young ox might try to wander and get off the path, but the yoke held that younger ox in stride with the older ox, who would consistently pull that younger ox along with him on the path until the younger ox learned, this is what we do, this is how we do it. So what we find here in this idea of taking on Christ's yoke, we find this metaphor for discipleship. Jesus was speaking to a Jewish audience at this point. And the Jews, their people at this point, they were, I think rightfully you could say they were weary and they were heavy laden with the yoke of the law. There were so many rules and regulations to follow. And it wasn't just God's Ten Commandments, it was all of the kind of things that had been interpreted out of there. And you had the Pharisees and the religious leaders who had developed this long list, this code of conduct. Do this, don't do that. It extended to how far you could walk on a Sabbath day, when you could eat, what you could eat, all of these different things. And people were weary under the yoke of trying to be in step with hundreds of different rules and regulations. Jesus invited them to take off the burdensome yoke of that Pharisee-styled law, and instead to take up His yoke, one that was comparatively easy and light. Because remember, it's do versus done. Jesus isn't promising a free ride here. There is still work to be done. It is still a yoke. Again, we don't earn our salvation, but we do serve the Lord. We will still face persecution. We will still face rejection as Christ's followers. And frankly, Jesus' standard was higher than that of the Pharisees anyway, because Jesus wasn't just after outward compliance. He wasn't just after, hey, make sure you toe the line on all 623 or whatever of these rules and regulations. He was after inward change. And thankfully, that change in our hearts, that is accomplished by God's Holy Spirit. But still, Christ says that his yoke is easy. You could also interpret that to say it's well-fitting. Christ's yoke fits us well. You see, yokes in Jesus' day were handmade by carpenters. They would take an animal, bring it to the carpenter, measurements would be taken, a beam of wood would be selected, and it would kind of be rough-hewn, cut down to the general shape and size it needed to be. And then the animal would be brought in again for a final fitting, and then all of the fine-tuning and smoothing would take place. And when made rightly, the yoke fit the animal perfectly. Didn't gouge or hurt the animal. It distributed the weight to the strongest parts of their body and allowed them to pull and bear that burden without any pain. It was fitted to make it comfortable and easy to pull whatever burden was there. In the same way, Jesus knows us as individuals. He knows us all personally and intimately, and the life that he gives us and the tasks that he calls us to, those are custom made to fit us. I think we make a terrible mistake when we try to shoulder our burdens alone. When we try to do it all by ourselves. God never intended for us to shoulder our burdens alone. That would be a collar. A collar is a device made for one animal to pull the weight all by themselves, to bear that burden by themselves. Christ doesn't deal in collars. He deals in yokes. Yoke is a harness for two, not one. And Christ himself desires to be one of those two bearing that yoke. His yoke fits well. It's lighter than the one that we've been pulling by ourselves. He wants to share the labor of any task. See, the secret of peace and victory in the Christian life is found by putting off that taxing collar of self, by stop trying to do it ourselves and acknowledging that we need God's help and taking up the yoke of Christ, accepting our master's yoke and letting him be the strong one to help us do it. There's three words, I think, that sum up what's implied in taking on a yoke. Connection, direction, and cooperation. A yoke symbolizes all three of those: connection, direction, and cooperation. Connection is what we just talked about. Christ invites us, right? He says, be with me. Be with me. Yokes are made for two, not one. We weren't meant to go through life living apart from God. Again, his yoke fits great. It's lighter than the one we try and pull by ourselves. So be connected to Jesus. Second is direction. With a yoke, Jesus instructs us. He says, follow me. The idea of a yoke pictures kind of that forward motion of two that are connected together. You cannot be yoked to Jesus and still go your own way. If you're yoked to Jesus, you're going where he's going. We're to follow him. We need to follow his direction for our lives. So follow Jesus. And lastly, there's cooperation. And here Jesus says, hey, work with me. Let's work together. To be yoked together means that we are cooperating in the work. Before we came to him, we were living for this side of eternity, living for ourselves, living for whatever we can get out of our day-to-day lives. Now, as we put our faith in Christ for salvation, now we are joined to his work, and what we discover is that our lives can have an eternal impact. We can impact somebody else's life for eternity. So work with Jesus. I think it's easy to see how taking up Christ's yoke and then learning from him, I think it's easy to see how those are interrelated here. We come to him, we take up his yoke, and we begin learning from him. If we are yoked to Christ, it's up to him to lead us. And it's up to us to follow him. It's up to him to instruct. It's up to us to learn. So what kind of path will he take us down? If we say, okay, God, Jesus, I want what you want for my life. So I am going to choose to go whatever direction you lead me. So where will he take us? What will we do? What will we experience when we wear his yoke? Well, the first thing he tells us here is that we will learn to be gentle in the same way that he is gentle. Believe it or not, religious people, church people, can actually sometimes be a little cold and harsh, and we don't always find the friendliest people in a church, because we're human, because we all have our issues and our struggles. But none of that's true of Jesus. His gentleness draws us to him with our cares and our concerns. I don't know if you've ever found yourself thinking, oh, it'd be so nice if I had somebody that I could just pour out my deepest thoughts to, a gentle person who would love me no matter what and actually had the strength and the ability to do something to help me. We do have that person. That's Christ, our Savior. He's the one who is gentle with us. He's the one about whom the Apostle Peter writes, and he says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. To be gentle finds us not being easily angered. It means that we're being kind, considerate, patient, helpful towards others. All of those things we see modeled in Jesus. It tells us that we will also learn to be humble in heart, just as Christ is humble in heart. And again, sad to say, but religious people can sometimes be arrogant and rude and prideful and self-centered. I can at least speak for myself. I have been all of those things at various points in my life, sad to say. But that's the very opposite of what Jesus is like. You see, hurt and lost, weary people were drawn to him during his earthly ministry because he cared for them, because he consistently met their needs. Humble person is someone who has a correct view of God and a correct view of themselves. They recognize, you know what, God is God and I am not. He's the one who gets to call the shots, and they seek to follow him and lean on him in all things. And it's in that we find rest. When we take up the yoke of Jesus and learn from him, we find rest. It's both a privilege and a responsibility, I think. See, privilege, we are privileged to have God's very word to us. The words of Jesus are right here. His instruction to us, we have that in our hands today. That is an enormous privilege to have God's word so accessible today. And the more we know, the more responsible we are to be obedient, to what God calls us to and to share that knowledge with others. See, in taking on Christ's yoke, we will learn from Him. We'll learn how to live the life that He wants us to live. And it's not burdensome because His yoke is easy. It's well-fitting. His burden is actually light because He shares it with us. So, are you stressed? Then come to Christ for true rest. That's where it can be found. True rest is found in a relationship with Christ. That's where we find it. Whatever your stress is, whatever you're struggling through right now, today, true rest is found in a relationship with Christ. His invitation is, come, turn from going your own way to going the way Christ calls you to do. Understand that faith is not intended to be a matter of rules and regulations, do and don't do, but an understanding that in Christ it has already been done. Salvation is through faith in Christ alone. That's it. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it, but we can receive it by faith. And then having accepted Christ's invitation to come, let Him instruct you. Take up His yoke and learn from Him. It's a matter of connection, direction, and cooperation. Draw on Christ's strength. Let Him carry the burdens and guide you in life. Let His word instruct you and teach you. Learn from it and grow in Christ-likeness. We find rest in a relationship with Christ when we recognize that it is not a religious obligation, it is an intimate opportunity. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's where we find true rest. True rest is found in a relationship with Christ. Let's pray. God, you have offered us that very relationship. Something that we know we don't deserve, but you have offered it to us freely. You allowed for your love to be demonstrated in seeing your own Son go to that cross, bearing the penalty for our sins, the punishment that we deserved. He took that on Himself. So that, God, you could say the punishment has already been given. You could offer us freely forgiveness if we would acknowledge and confess that sin before you. Acknowledge that we have no hope of being saved, no way to earn our way into your presence, but simply to accept the gift that you offer us through faith in Christ. Lord, I probably speak for most every one of us. We're stressed. Things are difficult right now. Things continue to go up and down. And we need rest. We're weary. We're burdened. But we find here in Christ's words that true rest can be found in our relationship with Him. So Lord, let us come to you, taking on your yoke, finding it easy and light. Let us draw our strength from you, and we will continue to praise you. Thank you for your love for us. Amen.